The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255, 458-TALK. What's on your mind about firearms today? And it's another great day in Fairbanks. The sky is overcast, and it's only about 50 degrees this morning. But here at the KFAR Broadcasting Station, Melissa Burnett and her new desk mate from Zimbabwe, an African carved wood hippopotamus, are expertly running the board for us today. Thank you. And Melissa and Mr. Hippo are keeping the Shooter's Corner archives up to date for us. So if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a couple of days.
And so, if anybody wants to see the hippo, I did post him on the KFAR Facebook page. So
yeah.
He is posted there. Go see him.
Oh, great. He's a very handsome hippo.
He's so cute.
And he had a long ride. He was very well behaved in the carry-on luggage.
He's very cute.
Yeah, he's very cute. Cute, and he doesn't, you don't have to feed him.
That's awesome. That's okay. The bonus. I don't got to feed him.
You don't have to feed him. So what is on our agenda today? Well, I'm clearly back from my trip to Africa, and I will share some thoughts on that trip this hour if we have time, and if not, next week. I also want to spend considerable time talking about gun safety. Gun safety was front and center on my mind for part of my trip. I enjoyed and was grateful for my friend in Zimbabwe and his family taking good care of me, keeping me safe, and taking me to places to see animals and that the general tourist would not see. And inevitably, the conversation turns to hunting and firearms and defending oneself against possible harm from wildlife or people. And unfortunately, though my friend came from a family of hunters and professional hunters, and himself as a fourth generation hunter, and his daughters starting out as fifth generation hunters, gun safety in the home made me very uneasy. And so that has been on my mind, and I wanted to reinforce our gun safety rules, both the NRA rules and the rules originally promulgated by Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper, either set of which will keep us safe. And I want to extend a special thank you to both Glenn Miller and Chuck Interredum for covering 3 weeks of Shooter's Corner for me while I was traveling, and to Melissa Burnett for making sure everything on the program ran smoothly. And again, thank you, Melissa. Both Glenn Miller and Chuck Interredum have a depth of knowledge about firearm subjects and are so willing to share with Shooter's Corner listeners, and I am truly grateful. So if you miss Glenn or Chuck's programs, check the Shooter's Corner archives. Glenn handled the August 10th program, and Chuck ran the August 17th and 24th programs. I've got some announcements. Chuck Interredum's Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes will resume soon. As soon as the dates and locations are posted, I will let listeners know. Sign up to be on Chuck's mailing list. Sign up at c4traininggroup.com. Send a message under Contact Us, and Chuck will let you know when new classes are scheduled. For long-range planning, Chuck does have several of his popular classes listed for 2024. His defensive rifle course will be May 18 and 19, 2024. His red dot transition course will be June 8, and his defensive shotgun course will be June 15 and 16, all 2024. And again, as soon as Chuck's Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes and his defensive handgun for the armed citizen courses are listed, I will let you know. Now, we'll be talking about all these classes as time gets nearer. Even though they're almost a year out, please mark them on your calendars. Save up if money is an issue, or perhaps a family member will provide one of Chuck's gift certificates and gift you a class. If you have any questions, call Chuck at 844-966-4079 or go to his website and sign up for classes or ask to be on his mailing list, c4traininggroup.com. Glenn Miller's next NRA Metallic Reloading class will be October 14, and that class has only one opening left, just one opening. Those classes fill up very quickly, and after that, Glenn has another reloading class scheduled for January 6, 2024. And Glenn teaches the reloading classes just once each quarter. So sign up at the AIMCOM website or call Glenn Miller at 907-347-1396. And if you want to be in a future reloading class and it isn't listed on the AIMCOM website, just call Glenn. Again, it's 907-347-1396. Holidays. Today is National Memoirs Day, and that brings to mind two things. First, though not a memoir, but rather a selected autobiography, is Joe Nava's book, Not Your Average Joe. And some weeks ago, I delivered the last of Joe's books to Frontier Outfitters. And when those are sold, there will be no more books to purchase. Joe's book is $20, and all profits have gone to his Joseph A. Nava Memorial Shooting Scholarship Endowment Fund. And you might want to purchase a few books to keep as gifts or pass on through your family. Joe led an exemplary life dedicated to gun safety and wildlife management. His wisdom is timeless. The basis of my firearms knowledge I learned from working with Joe Nava, and I am hosting Shooter's Corner knowing Joe would have supported that. Now, second, on National Memoirs Day, I want to tell you about several books I read while traveling. I'd rather read books than watch movies on planes. The first book is Joe Navarro's Dangerous Personalities. Now, Joe Navarro began his career in law enforcement before becoming an FBI special agent, member of the elite National Security Division's Behavioral Analysis Program, and senior criminal profiler in the Tampa Division of the FBI. That's according to his bio. And I have purchased and read a number of his books, including The Dictionary of Body Language and another book, What Every Body is Saying. And that's about body language, too. I think he's written about 12 books. This one I just read, Dangerous Personalities, is one I recommend for most all of our listeners to read. The book blurb reads, quote, an FBI profiler shows you how to identify and protect yourself from harmful people, unquote. Now, Navarro specifically covers in chapters the narcissist personality, the emotionally unstable personality, the paranoid personality, the predator, and combination personalities. And with combination personalities, the subheading is one is bad, two is terrible, three is lethal. Now, Navarro also provides a chapter on self-defense against dangerous personalities, and each personality chapter has an extended checklist so you can define the personality traits and assign the amount of these traits to anybody that you think may have this particular harmful personality. And this will help you know how dangerous this person might be. Now, danger is not only in personal physical harm. It might be a predator who steals your family's wealth or steals from your business or a community not-for-profit. These personalities are not always street people. And some are, but not always. Many are very intelligent and hide their motives behind official jobs, like being public servants in official capacities. Others manifest as professionals, doctors, lawyers, accountants, law enforcement, politicians, teachers, and more. And just because someone is in a position that our society automatically relegates respect to does not mean that individual person is not harmful or does not possess harmful personality traits. It only means we may not be as on guard as we should around them, or that they're very good at practicing deceit. Their minds do not work the same way ours do. They may not have the same innate sense of fairness, of right and wrong, of morality, they may not have the conscience that we have. And Navarro points out some of these people cannot change, and they will have a negative effect on our lives. And here is why I believe this is an important book for Shooter's Corner's listeners to read. Most of us are concerned with our personal safety and the safety of our families. And we're taught to be situationally aware of our surroundings. The objective is to avoid a potential harmful situation. When I reviewed Dr. Gav Schneider's book, Can I See Your Hands? We were told that by being situationally aware, we can avoid over 90% of the negative self-defense situations we might find ourselves in. But we tend to use that situational awareness in activities we're doing and in the places we're doing them. We tend not to use situational awareness when dealing with individual personality types, especially those in professional type relationships, close family situations, or people who seem dedicated to our communities. And I'm going to continue this discussion right after this first break.
As you brush your teeth and comb your hair, think about your faithful friend in your driveway. While you visit your doctor or dentist, remember your four-wheeled pal in the parking lot. You do your own routine maintenance. Your car or truck depends on you to do that for them. Call the folks with experience and a sound reputation since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair, from tune-ups to complete rebuilds. Airboat and inboard service as well. Family-owned and operated, Rogers Auto Repair. The only way to deal with weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Scent Blocker, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Ganner and LaCrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River. You're covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tent, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Who turned out the lights? Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way, with honesty, integrity, and respect.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Paul Casey of Shelbyville, Tennessee. But you are a Valdez resident now, I understand.
Well, actually, I'm a Tennessee resident. But, you... but I come back and forth to Valdez, I don't know, a few times every year and work across the bay for a few months, then go back to Tennessee. But I usually come here during fishing season.
Well, and it paid off this year. You reeled in a 316.8-pound halibut and stand to win a $10,000 first-place prize. So, Paul, what would you do with $10,000 if you finished the season in first place?
Oh, I'd probably spread it around, give some to the captain, some to the guy that sold me the derby ticket, and then the wife, she'll take care of the rest of it.
Nice. And what was the feeling when you hooked this fish? Did you know it was a good size fish?
Well, I didn't know it was going to be that big, but I knew that it was taking my line off pretty quick, and that was my first thought, or I'm going to run out of line. And then it kind of slowed down, and I got some of the line back, and the next time it made a run, it didn't take as much line, so I started having a pretty good feeling by then.
How long did it take you to reel in this 316.8-pounder?
I'm thinking it was somewhere between, I don't know, a half hour for sure, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. It was hard to tell.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into our private cabins at Eagles Rest RV Park, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Park and Cabins is a perfect place to land. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at EaglesRestRV.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area, so the sooner you book, the better. EaglesRestRV.com.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez, and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 62, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered rain showers likely 48. Isolated rain showers again tomorrow, high of 54. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio, Melissa Burnett at the controls. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today or anything else that we're talking about. This book, Joe Navarro's Dangerous Personalities, was an eye-opener for me. You will have heard of many of the people and crimes these people committed that Navarro uses as examples. And in hindsight, understand how, if you were aware, perhaps you could have foreseen danger. And of course, there are dangerous people for which, as Gavin DeBecker notes in his book, Gift of Fear, we immediately have a sense of fear or intuition of danger. But narcissists, unstable people, paranoid people, predators, and the people with combinations of these traits that Navarro talks about, they can also be CEOs of corporations, professionals in the medical field, professionals in the financial fields, people who we vote for to run our government entities, people who are our community, people who our communities hire to keep us safe and enforce our laws. An example is Bernard Madoff. You remember him, who financially destroyed many people's lives as well as that of his family, including being a factor in his own son's suicide. Would you have hired him as your financial analyst if you had had the money? How would you have known not to? He was a predator personality, according to profiler Navarro. And it's up to us to understand what makes up the elements of that predator personality and how to recognize it. We need to be able to recognize the good people from the people who will do harm. Read the book. Think about people, the people that Navarro mentions and lists in his book. Would you have seen their crimes coming? Think about people you might be acquainted with or people in your community that might exhibit the personality traits in Navarro that Navarro discusses. Go through the checklist to help identify these personalities. Then think about your relationship with them and be aware of any harm they can do to you, either physically, emotionally, or financially. Joe Navarro repeats in each chapter that his background is in profiling, FBI profiling, not medical diagnosis. And his checklists are for us, the general public. They're not to be used to medically diagnose a personality type, but rather to help us recognize the common societal traits of dangerous personalities so that we can make decisions about our relationships with them. And again, it is Joe Navarro, and the title is Dangerous Personalities. An FBI profiler shows you how to identify and protect yourself from harmful people. Now, I do not think I will review this book on Shooter's Corner, except perhaps in the future, the chapter on self-defense against dangerous personalities. But I think you will be glad if you read this book. Now, another book, a real memoir, that I want to recommend is The Forgotten Highlander, an incredible World War II story of survival in the Pacific by Alistair Urquhart. And Mr. Urquhart was one of the last survivors of the Gordon Highlanders Battalion. The rest were killed and also captured by the Japanese Imperial Army in Singapore during World War II. And Mr. Urquhart spent 750 days as a slave on the Death Railway and the bridge over the River Kwai. And if that was not enough to survive, he then survived a terrible ordeal on the hell ship, I think I'm pronouncing it, Kachikdoki Maru, one of the hell ships, being torpedoed and spending days adrift, and then experiencing the fallout from the nuclear blast at Nagasaki. So let me quote the author. My story may be remarkable, but for over 60 years, I have remained silent about my sufferings at the hands of the Japanese. So many of us former prisoners of war did, and all for the same reasons. We did not wish to upset our wives and families and ourselves with the unsettling tales of unimaginable torments. The memories that made us dread the nightmares which came with sleep were just too horrific. And on our liberation, we all signed undertakings to the British government that we would not talk about the war crimes we witnessed or reveal what we saw in the atomic wasteland of Nagasaki. Now I'm breaking my silence to bear witness to the systematic torture and murder of tens of thousands of Allied prisoners, for as well as being a lucky man, I am an angry man. We were a forgotten force in Singapore that vanished overnight into the jungles of Burma and Thailand to become a ghost army of starved slave laborers. During the Cold War, those of us who survived became an embarrassment to the British and American governments, which turned a blind eye to the Japanese war crimes in their desire to forge alliances against China and Russia. And I hope that this book will stand as an indictment of the criminal regime that ran Japan during the war years and the failure of successive Japanese governments to face up to their crimes. But I hope, too, that it will be an inspirational and that it will be inspirational and offer hope to those who suffer adversity in their daily lives, especially in these difficult times. Life is worth living, and no matter what happens to you, it is important to keep your eyes on the prize of happiness that will come. Even when the death railway reduced us to little more than animals, humanity in the shape of our saintly medical officers triumphed over barbarism. Remember, when it always seems the darkest before the dawn, perseverance pays off and the good times will return, unquote. And that is by Alistair Urquhart, Dundee, United Kingdom, and that was from July 2009. Now, there are many articles and some videos online. You look up on YouTube. The title of the video is The Luckiest Man in the World, or just search on Alistair Urquhart's name. It's Urquhart. Now, Mr. Urquhart's story is told from his British perspective and experiences. If our listeners would like, I would be happy to review Mr. Urquhart's book on Shooter's Corner. His story is a sad and grueling one. He does not cover anything up. He tells it like it was and how his experience shaped his later years, especially his health. After all he went through, he dedicated his life to helping other people. Now, Mr. Urquhart was Scottish. He was born September 8, 1919, and passed away at the age of 97, October 7, 2016. And if you would like me to review this book, just let me know. You can email me or call in and let us know. Again, Alistair Urquhart, the book's titled The Forgotten Highlander. I read through a few more books, but I'll save those on my trip. I'll save those for another program. And just call in and let me know, or like I said, email me on The Forgotten Highlander if you want me to review it on the program. And last on the holiday list today, August 31st, is National Trail Mix Day, and it's also Eat Outside Day. Just don't eat trail mix with nuts outside when monkeys are watching you or elephants are sniffing about. My friend in Zimbabwe told me several times, do not leave anything outside your pack or snacks, nothing. Do not leave anything out. But surely I could leave my snack bowl of peanuts and my crossbody pack on the picnic table outside our cottage on the Zambezi River for just a split second while I went back in my room to get something. And I do mean a split second was all. I was out of sight and the monkeys immediately swooped in and took my containers of peanuts and they ran down towards the boat dock with them and ate them all. And then they had a monkey fight, a very screeching monkey fight among themselves for the leftovers. And an elephant quickly closed in to pick up my crossbody pack with his trunk. And luckily someone yelled at him and he dropped it. And nothing is safe in the wild in Alaska or in Africa. Use common sense and listen to what experienced old timers tell you.
You caused a bunch of monkeying around.
Yeah, boy. I mean, those monkeys are everywhere. They're going from the trees, and they land on the cars, and land on the roof, and they watch people because they want their food. They want
They're like seagulls. They're everywhere.
They are everywhere. And the warthogs and the elephants and the crocodiles and the baboons.
Another day in Africa.
Yeah. And the trucks there, I'll get into over the next couple of weeks some of my experiences, but the trucks are trucking a lot of grain, these big lorries, they call them, and the grain spills out along the roadside. So when you're going out along the roadside out of the big cities, the monkeys, the baboons are alongside of the road picking up and just sitting there eating the grain. I don't know how they get hit. It was very, very interesting.
Sounds like a bunch of fun, honestly.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I felt safe. I didn't feel any of the uneasiness or unsafeness that people told me I would. I was very well taken care of.
Except for the monkeys.
Yeah, the monkeys. And frankly, and I'll get into this, the people there, even though there's a tremendous amount of poverty, a lot of them are well-educated, just aren't a lot of jobs where they can make any money, and they speak multiple languages, and they speak English very well. They're very polite, and they smile. And if you don't want something that they're trying to sell you, they'll just smile and say, bless you. They won't cuss you as you walk away.
Like, can't be said for here, but
Yeah. And it all worked out very, very well.
Well, it's time for our half-hour break.
Okay, let's take our break, and I'll talk about gun safety right around the corner.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep. In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low. He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings.
Broadcasting from the Satellite West KFAR studio. Communicate from anywhere in the world with Satellite West.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis toured areas of his state hardest hit by Hurricane Idalia, saying many trees were knocked down, cutting power lines.
You did see structural damage to buildings. I saw roofs torn off of businesses.
Idalia, now a tropical storm, poses a threat to Bermuda. Former President Trump has pleaded not guilty and says he'll skip a hearing next week in the case accusing him and others of illegally trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election in Georgia. Layoffs increased this month, but there's indications the job market remains resilient.
Fewer people signed up for unemployment benefits last week. The number of new claims declined by 4,000 to 228,000, though the number of people remaining on unemployment rose to 1.7 million.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTVF reports the Mon Cho mining project symbolically kicked off on Tuesday, August 29th, with a ceremonial groundbreaking ceremony. The mine, located near the community of Tetlin, southeast of Tok, has garnered some controversy since its inception. Much of the disagreement stems from the plan for transporting ore from the mine to a Kinross Fort Knox processing facility north of Fairbanks, with some in the borough citing potential safety issues for residents and commuters, including school buses, along the route. In its current state, the plan involves large vehicles 95 feet in length traveling around route that includes the Richardson Highway, Pegger Road, the Johansson Expressway, and Steese Highway. According to Kinross, some aspects of mining have already begun, and ore hauling could begin as early as October. Brenna Shockey, External Affairs Supervisor with Kinross, discussed the ceremony, saying, "Today's groundbreaking really signifies the partnership not only with Mon Cho and the village of Tetlin and our joint venture partner Contago Ore, but also all the communities we are working in. Today was really a celebration of that partnership, the job opportunities, and the economic boost that's going to be coming to
these
areas."
Online at KFAR660.com.
Ben here at Auto Trim Design. Summer is moving down the road, and that means it's time to start getting ready for winter. At Auto Trim Design, we have something for everyone. Get your remote start with drone mobile, moose lights, heated seats, seat covers, tonneau covers, toppers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more before the snow flies. Auto Trim Design is your one-stop shop for all your vehicle accessory needs, located at 2550 South Cushman Street under the huge American flag. Stop in or give us a call at 456-8400.
Customize by Auto Trim Design.
Count on Frontier Outfitters' extensive shooting department for what you need on your next hunt. Rifles and shotguns by Winchester, Remington, Browning, and more. Handguns by Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and many others. Ammunition and reloading supplies as well. Protect and transport your guns with cases by Pelican and gun boots by Colpin. Be on target with optics by Weaver, Bushnell, and Leopold. Your successful hunt begins with a trip to Frontier Outfitters. For Alaskan proven outdoor gear and clothing, trust Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Melissa Burnett on the controls, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about anything we're talking about today. And we have a caller.
We do.
And caller, you are on the line. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, you're on the line.
I got another suggestion.
Yes.
A guy named William Bell. Well, he was in the Yukon Gold Rush, et cetera, and he was known for his elephant shots, mostly with a 7x57 Mauser, pretty small caliber. What his trick was climbing a ladder to get the angle necessary and shooting them in the back of the head from the rear. Good book. He's a good study, famous for shooting elephants.
Okay, if I look up William Bell, was he in Africa? Was he a professional hunter? You said from the Yukon, but that name sounds familiar. I don't know where I've heard that.
He was called an ivory hunter.
Yeah, okay. I don't think I have his book. I have purchased many books, and I haven't even read through them yet. Okay, I will take a look at that. And aside from your suggestion, if other people are interested in some of these African hunting books, we can learn a lot from them, and they are amazing stories of what these people did back then, hunting, especially the nuisance animals. They had a lot of experience. So I'll take a look at this. That's very familiar. Okay, thank you so much.
Yep, bye.
Okay, all right, bye. Okay, I want to talk about gun safety rules. When Joe Nava used to do Shooter's Corner, he either began or ended each program with the NRA 3 gun safety rules. And those rules are always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction, always keep your finger off the trigger until ready to shoot, and always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. But there are other sets of similar gun safety rules that are used by some instructors. Chuck Underedon uses the rules originally set forth by Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper. And Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper's rules, in my opinion, are just as effective as the 3 NRA gun safety rules. And I'll talk about both sets of rules in a few minutes. But I want to let you know why I'm talking about this today. And actually, we may have another discussion similar to this next week. On my trip to Africa, I stayed several days at the home of the family that was taking me to the places we visited. And both my friend's father and his ex-father-in-law were professional hunters. My friend there grew up hunting and took his first group of the Big Five at a very early age. I know he took a Cape Buffalo at age 15. As I saw the announcement and picture in a magazine he had saved. And while at his home, the conversation turned to firearms, and he wanted to show me his rifles, his hunting rifles, kept in a safe, locked safe, and his handgun, which he kept for self-protection in a drawer by the bed. And Peter and his two daughters and I were all in the room where the guns were kept. And first he showed me his Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum revolver. And this is kept now for protection against anybody breaking in. He handed me the gun, not pointed in a proper direction, but pointed directly at me. And his girls were in the room, too. And I immediately stepped aside, turned the muzzle away from any people, and opened the cylinder. Every chamber was loaded except the one in front of the firing pin. I guess he thought he was safe by doing that. This, however, is a double-action gun, not a single-action gun. And had the trigger been pulled back, the next round would have been in front of the firing pin and the gun would have gone off. So I immediately emptied the cylinder. This gun was gifted to him by his former father-in-law, who used it as a backup gun while hunting with clients for Leopard. And I explained why he should not keep a loaded handgun in his bedside drawer, especially with young girls and their friends in the house and with hired help in and out of the house all day long. I mean, all of the doors to the house are open. I'll tell you about the homes when I have a chance to talk about where I was. The doors are open and help is walking in and out of the home all day long. And apparently, my discussion did not register because when I handed him back his Smith & Wesson revolver and the ammunition separately, he proceeded to reload the gun and put it right back where it was. I then, without offending anybody, I did it very nicely, gave his girls a quick gun safety rules lesson, and they were happy to memorize the gun safety rules and promised to use them. Now, next, my friend began to take the hunting rifles out of the lock safe, and he would hand me a rifle without opening the bolt or removing the magazine. And of course, each rifle was fully loaded. Each time I pointed the rifle in a safe direction and opened the bolt, the chambered round popped out and I removed the magazine. But even after a discussion about this, when he put those rifles back in the safe, he would replace the magazine and re-ready the rifle. And this took place over quite a few rifles, and never once did he clear the rifle before handing it to me. I had to do it. And all this left a very sad impression on me, especially because I know that most reputable professional hunters will watch the client carefully as to how they handle a gun and how safe they are. And most reputable professional hunters will let the client know when to chamber around and how they want the rifle carried when walking in a line through the tall grass or otherwise. And my friend and host was not a professional hunter, but his friends and family were, and I seemingly had no influence on safety with my friend at the moment in the short time I was there. And that incident made me think I wanted to talk about gun safety rules yet again on Shooter's Corner. And I want to go over some conversation points so that you might pass them on to those who you teach to be safe with firearms. And I'll talk about the NRA 3 always safety rules the same way I would teach them in class. Maybe a little less detail because of time, but pretty much the same way. And I will go over Jeff Cooper's rules because either set of safety rules you use, either one of these two sets, if you implement them, always you will be safe. In Joe Nava's Not Your Average Joe book, in Section 2, Chapter 21, titled The Story Behind the National Rifle Association's 3 Firearm Safety Rules, you will find the story about how these NRA rules were formed. And I'll tell you the condensed version here. When Joe Nava began coaching and teaching firearms back in 1962, he started out teaching the College Cubs Junior Rifle Club at the University of Alaska here in Fairbanks. His goals were to teach not only marksmanship, but firearm safety too. And back in those days, individual coaches across the country had their own sets of safety rules that they taught. Firearms companies, ammunition companies, shooting clubs, ranges, all had their own set of safety rules. And all those rules were different. Most had a golden rule, like keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction or not towards any people or not towards anything you don't intend to destroy. But nevertheless, all the rules were different. And NRA at the time had its own set of safety rules too. And that was back in 1962. In 1971, just after Joe was elected to the NRA Board of Directors, the National 4-H Council created a nationwide shooting sports program for young people. And the pilot for this program was launched in Texas as a rifle program, but it soon expanded to pistol and shotgun instruction. And a gentleman named Tom Davidson, who was a friend of Joe's, was the person who started this 4-H program. And Mr. Davidson contacted the NRA and others to ask what safety rules he should use in his program. And he found coaches, clubs, and organizations were all using different rules. It was the National 4-H Council that took charge of organizing a national conference at their headquarters in Maryland to come up with a uniform set of gun safety rules that could be adopted and used by the majority of organizations. And I will read a paragraph from Joe's book, quote, invited were about 50 well-known individuals and companies, all associated in different capacities with firearms. Representatives from the gun manufacturers and ammunition companies were invited, as were representatives from the Boy Scouts of America. I was invited because I was serving on the NRA Board of Directors, and I was chairman of the NRA Junior and Collegiate Committee, unquote. And yes, Joe Nava was there, and he knew firsthand how the rules were formed, and he shares that with all of us in his book so that we will know and we will not forget. All the invited representatives, including a number of attorneys sent by firearms companies, were asked to write down what they thought was the most important safety rule. And the phrase most written was, treat every gun as if it is loaded. Well, after discussion, it was decided the sentence, treat every gun as if it is loaded, does not teach us anything. If you tell someone, treat every gun as if it's loaded, what are you telling them or teaching them to do? They don't know how to do that. So it was back to the drawing board. And in the end, the three always rules that the NRA adopted were the three safety rules that the National 4-H Council adopted and that many other firearms-related entities adopted. And let me explain the rules exactly the way I'd explain them in class, except I'll give you the answers to the questions I would ask the students. First, I have the entire class read the three safety rules out loud together. Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until ready to shoot, and always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. And I would next ask the students, what is a safe direction? And the correct answer I was looking for is away from any people. And we're going to go to our third break, and we'll finish up our safety discussion after that break.
Out the lights. Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way with honesty, integrity, and respect.
The only way to deal with weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Scent Blocker, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Ganner and Lacrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River. You're covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tent, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Scattered rain showers likely today. Otherwise, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 62. Southeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 48. Isolated rain showers likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 54. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Melissa Burnett at the controls, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know anything you might want to talk about with firearms or Africa or anything you want me to look up or books to review. We are open to any of those suggestions. Now, getting back to the safety rules, after the students and I all read the safety rules together out loud, and I asked, what is a safe direction? And I said the answer I was looking for was away from any persons. I would explain, yes, away from persons, and if on a range, always point the muzzle downrange. We also demonstrated how to properly carry a gun, muzzle up, and hand a gun off to someone properly. That's an important, and another instructor and I would hand a gun off to each other. That's something that even in gun stores, the people behind the counter don't know how to properly do that. Be careful when dry practicing that you do not point that muzzle at the wall leading to another room or a floor or ceiling where another person can be upstairs or downstairs. Just because you can't see someone behind a wall doesn't mean someone is not there. Next, for the second rule, I'd ask why we keep our finger off the trigger. And the answer I was looking for is that modern guns cannot fire unless the trigger is held all the way back. Keeping one's finger off the trigger prevents negligent discharges. And last, I would ask what is meant by the third rule, keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. And I'd say if you are out and about in town with your concealed handgun and you drive home, enter your house, what do you do with your gun? And now we have a decision to make, and that decision might be different for each person in the class. It's going to be different for many of our listeners. If you plan to use your concealed handgun as the same gun you use for home protection, you will follow a set of rules. If you are done using your gun when in your home, you will put that gun in a locked safe separate from the ammunition and make sure that unauthorized persons like children or guests cannot access that gun. So depending on your need for that gun at home and who lives with you and who might come and go from your home, that's going to dictate how you store that gun and when you store it. The question you need to ask yourself is, and I tell students this, is that gun in use? If it is in use, it needs to be handled and kept safe but readily available for use. If it's not in use, it needs to be locked up. And if you leave your house and do not take your gun, all your guns should be locked up with your ammunition stored separately. It's clearly not in use. So after that discussion, I talk about a few real life situations that are actually articles in our newspaper. One is about, and these were years ago, articles years ago. One is about two sisters in Alaska who were hunting on their four-wheeler. They ran out of gas. The ladies decided to walk back to their village. Actually, someone came along and they did get a ride. But when one sister removed the rifle from its scabbard, she shot her sister through the leg. And I ask, which rule or rules did the sisters not follow? Well, they didn't follow any of the rules. The point is, of the three safety rules, the point is, had they followed any one of the three safety rules and neglected the other two, just any one of those rules, that negligent discharge would either not have happened or certainly not hit another person. And another story I tell is about a young man in Juneau who decided to dry practice with his gun, and he pointed the gun in what he thought was a safe direction, the front door. He did not follow the safety rules. When he removed his magazine, he did not check to make sure his semi-auto did not have a round in the chamber, and we do explain this to our students. And he shot right through the front door, and as he did, a Juneau school bus was passing by. The bullet lodged in a window frame and did not hurt any person on the bus, but law enforcement at the time of the article was printed was deciding whether to press charges. So the three always rules adopted by the NRA and the National 4-H Council and many other organizations, including at the time some state hunter education departments, are rules that work in tandem to keep us safe. But the real beauty is that if a person ignores two of the three rules and only remembers one, then a person will not be hurt. Over the years, Joe used to lament this. State hunter education departments, as well as private instructors, especially those teaching self-defense classes or that came from military and police backgrounds, used somewhat similar but differently worded rules. And the rules were correct in that they kept us safe if we follow them, but they're not the simple three safety rules so easy to memorize. And one of the most used sets of alternate rules, and the set that it seems To me, many who teach self-defense classes or come from combat or law enforcement backgrounds use are the rules originally promulgated by Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper. And I still refer back to Cooper's books, Principles of Personal Defense. It's a very thin book. It was published in the 1970s. The lessons are timeless. You can find out much more about Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper online if you don't know who he was. He founded Gunsight in 1976, and he had the idea to use Gunsight as a vehicle to teach his modern technique of the pistols. And many of you have heard that phrase, modern technique of the pistol. Cooper taught military, law enforcement, and he taught average citizens. Cooper was an author, a columnist, a professor, World War II, and Korean War combat veteran. An online article in the NRA American Rifleman magazine titled Jeff Cooper, the Man Behind the Modern Technique, it's by Finn Agard, and it was published April 1, 2020, describes Cooper as, quote, a man of many parts is Jeff Cooper, apart from being the guru of combat pistol warrior, as all true men are at bottom, Marine officer, spook, swordsman, bon vivant, historian, scholar, adjunct professor of police science, connoisseur of fast cars, expert rifleman, and big game hunter, adventurer, peril, not variety, is the true spice of life, philosopher, NRA director, and superb writer and author with a wonderful command of the language, father and grandfather, husband, a seeker of excellence whose creed is honor, duty, country, a man with great gusto for life, and perhaps above all, a teacher. He is a strong-willed person who expresses his opinions confidently, defends them with verve and erudition, in debate, suffers not fools, and scorns political correctness, unquote. And the Gunsight website notes, quote, Cooper was one of the first to define and stress the four basic rules of firearm safety. All guns are always loaded, and even if they are not, treat them as if they are. So all guns are always loaded. Number two, never let the muzzle cover anything you are not willing to destroy. Comment for those who insist that this particular gun is unloaded, see rule number one. Number three, keep your finger off the trigger till your sights are on the target. Now that is Cooper's golden rule. Number four is identify your target and what is behind it. And that means never shoot at anything that you have not positively identified. Now Gunsight was founded in 1976, but Lieutenant Colonel Cooper was likely teaching before that. And if not, I'm pretty sure he had his safety rules well established in his mind. Joe Nava's story about how the three NRA safety rules were arrived at took place in 1971, a few years before Gunsight was founded, but likely a number of years after Jeff Cooper developed his safety rules. Cooper's golden rule is his rule number three, keep your finger off the trigger till your sights are on target, while the NRA's golden rule is always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. If you compare each set of rules, they both do the same thing. They keep us safe. And to me, it doesn't matter which set we use, as long as we follow what we choose religiously. There are other sets of rules out there, and I won't list them here, but most I've seen are all correct in that if you follow them, they will keep us safe. I do not get particular about which set of rules we follow as long as we choose a set, memorize them, and follow them exactly. For those of us who target shoot regularly or are in target competitions, and I used to shoot NRA bullseye, the NRA 3 safety rules are perfect for those of us who practice defensive shooting or who might find ourselves in a self-defense situation or who hunt. It's very important to not only identify our target, but to know what is behind it. We do not want to injure an innocent bystander. So often instructors teaching defensive firearms classes will make sure a rule specifically addressing this issue is included in their set of safety rules. Now, for our listeners who teach their grandchildren or children firearm safety, I think whatever rules you decide to use, it would become a much-loved family heirloom if you would have them printed on a plaque and presented to the youth you are teaching for them to hang in their room on their wall, maybe signed Love Grandpa or Love Dad at the bottom. Years from now, when they teach their children, that gift of safety will be passed on through the family. And like I said, we'll probably talk a little bit more about gun safety next week. Well, I only have a few minutes left, so I'll start to talk about my trip to Africa. And I'll probably be talking in bits and pieces in the next few weeks about that. So I went to Zimbabwe. I had a great time, and I hope I can go back next year in 2 years at the latest. I wish I had done this when I was younger. Don't we all wish we had done things when we were younger? And Africa is not necessarily for old people unless you are in excellent health and physical shape. It was a tough trip. The plane is grueling, especially from Alaska. I flew United from Fairbanks to Chicago, then Chicago to Newark, and then Newark to Johannesburg, then Johannesburg to Harare, Zimbabwe, and that overseas flight, as many of you know, can be rather brutal. I could not afford first class, but I did spend a few hundred dollars extra to get that economy plus on United, so I had a little more legroom. I really did not sleep on any of the flights, but I got two entire books read, plus major parts of other books. For anyone who hasn't flown lately, all but the small older planes have movies and plugins for your computers, your tablets, or other electronic readers. It's easy to keep yourself occupied if you don't sleep on planes. It's been quite a few years since I've flown, probably 6 years maybe, since I've flown to the East Coast. Chicago Airport was not to my liking at all. I prefer not to go back there. At Newark, New Jersey, the international branch of the airport was state-of-the-art, and I was very impressed, and I enjoyed that. The international food court was excellent, pretty much contactless in terms of you can order self-pay without anything you want, self-pay, not too much of any human interaction. All the tables have multiple plugins for electronics. They even have QR codes where you can hold your phone over and get the menus. I use Tiles on all my luggage and carry-ons, and I will tell you, we're going to close out today, but I will tell you about my Tile experience. One of my Tiles paid for itself many times over by finding itself on one of my bags. Okay, folks, thank you for listening. Let me know if you want me to review that book I talked about World War II, the Highlander book, and we will talk to you all next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair.